As Jesus and his disciples were on their way, he came to a village where a woman named Martha opened her home to him. She had a sister called Mary, who sat at the Lord's feet listening to what he said. But Martha was distracted by all the preparations that had to be made. She came to him and asked, "Lord, don't you care that my sister's left me to do the work by myself? Tell me to help her." "Martha, Martha," the Lord answered, "you're worried and upset about many things. But few things are needed, or indeed, only one. Mary has chosen what is better, and it will not be taken away from her."
All right, it's a quick sermon. Be more like Mary. You've heard it before. See you later. Shall we have the barbecue now, people? Yeah, Ruben's right. I was told by the young people, I said, how can we make the service more appealing to you? And a couple of them, I'm not going to name anyone, Millie and Luca, told me, make the sermons faster, Chris. We talk too much. I was like, okay, thank you. I love your honesty and candidness and the fact that that is what you get from young people. If you ask them a good question, an open-ended one where you're not expecting the answer, you get what they really want to tell you. I'm not sure I can make this fast, but I can make it interesting. I struggle with this passage and the way it's been interpreted. It really winds me up. I'm really sorry. I've only ever heard one sermon on this, which is, oh, Mary's so much better because she's sitting there at Jesus' feet doing what she wants. And Jesus is, you know, he's clearly affirmed this and has told her sister Martha to leave her alone and get on with tidying up by yourself because she's doing the right thing. Not offered any help in any other way, not told the other guys who are there from the disciples to get up off their bums and go and do something. No, just the fact that Mary's doing the right thing. And if you've ever spent any time with me, you know I'm a doer. I'm someone who likes moving. I hated church as a kid. I resonate with what Millie and Lucas said. It was a lot of standing up and sitting down and not much actually doing anything. And I remember my first ever sermon, I was asked at 20 to come and speak to my church. And it was the worst thing I've ever done. I have to admit, it's a pretty bad sermon. But essentially, my message to my church, which was my aunties and the people who'd raised me for the last 20 years, was we spend a lot of time talking in this place and there's no action and the world would be a better place if we all left out of the building and when it came back. They loved me for that sermon, heaped a load of praise on me as a 20-year-old and said, "Chris, yes, we agree with you." And then over my lifetime, I realized these were the doers in the church. The psychiatric nurses who had two autistic kids who came to church and set up in the morning. The teachers, the stay-at-home parents, all the things. The ones who were doing every day. And I just basically told them, you don't do anything because you don't go and do action in the community. But you know what? My youthful vigour has been tempered somewhat by the years, as the grey in my beard now shows. But I think Mary and Martha give us a good opportunity to check in and think, what is this about? We have the two here, and to get a picture of who Mary and Martha are, you might want to read across two Gospels. You want to read in Luke here, in Luke 10, you'll have a couple of bits with them in, and in John 11, where you'll see Mary and bathe Jesus' feet with her hair, and also where their brother Lazarus has died, and Jesus, for some reason, takes a long time to come and raise him from the dead. You get a picture of two women who actually break cultural norms. They are not married. They clearly run the household. They are part of Jesus' inner circle. They are the people who Jesus uses to facilitate his ministry, and they are fairly comfortable with him, because I don't know if you've ever had someone at a party and gone to them and said, look, my sibling isn't doing isn't pulling their weight. Can you come and sort them out? It's not normally what happens in the family parties I have. But even though I'm looking at my sister and my brother thinking, I'm doing all the work here. So they're comfortable with Jesus. This is a friendship. This is a relationship. Jesus says somewhere else in the gospel, I can't remember right now off the top of my head, that he loves them. Lazarus, Mary and Martha are friends of Jesus. It's interesting also that the 29th of July is Martha Day, and that she is the patron saint of cooks. And we're having a barbecue after the service. It's like, it's perfect. We planned all of these things. I said a couple of weeks ago in my sermon about Luke that Luke's gospel is taking us on a journey. Luke is a two-part book, Luke and Acts. The end of Luke is Jesus' death and resurrection, and then the movement out from the resurrection into telling the world about who Jesus is at the book of Acts. And Luke, this gospel that we're reading from, is about journeying. There is a movement towards Jerusalem in the book. And because of that, you get this sense of a path with the stories illuminating what it's like to journey with God in faith, with Jesus as God. So Mary and Martha's story is one of these little stepping stones towards showing us what it's like to journey with God in faith. What is it going to be like in our journey? How are we supposed to do this in the light of the world we live in and the experiences we have? And I think when we compact this story down into be like Mary, we forget that Martha and Mary are full characters. Two women in the Bible who we actually get some backstory to, we get some flesh on the bones. We don't often have that. And two women who do not need a male protagonist to illuminate their story. In Luke, often you'll have a woman and a man together. And he'll play with the characteristics that the writer of the gospel will play with the characteristics of what is expected of a woman, a man, and a parent. But you often have that. And here in this story, you don't. You have two women who are central to the story. So if we look at it with a lens of either womanist or feminist reading, we can say this is a place that illuminates our roles in our relationship with God from a female perspective, with some of the breaking of the oppressive structures that we live in and they lived in, central. So, as always, I'm going to preach about the way in which the gospel here is illuminating for us how we live in an oppressive structure, how we live in a structure. And I'm not saying that's a particular government or anything. I think all the setups in the world, all the things in the world, try and stop us from living fully as God intends us. And I truthfully believe that. You might think your experience might say to you that actually, no, there's really good structures in the world. My experience as a black man in Southeast London has always been that the structures that are around me are often there to stop me being able to flourish, whether that's a social system, whatever that is. I believe the gospel teaching us how we can live despite the structures of the world being there to be against us. And in this case, Mary and Martha highlight two structures that are oppressive. One is Mary sits at Jesus' feet as a rabbi. That was not a woman's place. Mary is choosing the position of being a rabbi's student. Jesus is the rabbi. She calls him Lord. Doesn't mean that she believes he's God. It means that is a question towards teacher, rabbi. And in that, she's subverting what is expected of her. She's saying, here, I am able to be taught like anyone else. I am equal and I am full. And with Martha questioning that, Jesus says, no, she's in the right place. So this isn't a some people like to do and some people like to sit and listen. This is, we are breaking the structures of patriarchal oppression in a system that belongs of its time, but we can clearly see the same things happening now. There is no, I find it that there is no way in which I couldn't say that those systems still exist. So in that, Jesus is not rebuking Martha for tidying up and making food and doing good things to serve people and hospitality. No, he's saying, yes, her position is as the other men who get to be taught by rabbis, by teachers. She is equal and so are you. And if we look at Martha in the fullness, looking through John's gospel, looking through Luke's gospel, looking at not just this one incident without context, we see someone who knows who Jesus is. When Jesus is on his way after her brother dies, she goes to meet him. She doesn't wait for him to arrive. And there they have a conversation. And it's clear in that conversation to me, anyway, you read it for yourself and see, it's John 11. That she knows exactly who Jesus is. She says, I know that if it's your will, he wouldn't be dead. I don't think that's an accusation there. I think that's an acknowledgement of the power and the person that is standing in front of her. That is a prayer of someone who is deeply grieving, but still knows that God is God. So in Mary and Martha's story, we do not have this simple, be more like Mary, which I hate. Sorry, it's an extreme word, but sometimes you have to say it. But we have a journey which is talking about, one, how does our relationship with God help us deal with the oppressive structures that we live in? And they could be any. All of you will have different ways in which you interact with the world, which bring up these things that make you feel less than human. And how do we journey to know who Jesus is, who the person of Jesus is, and who Jesus' true power is in being God incarnate? So, we're going to spend time over the next few weeks and months reading Luke and thinking about how we journey with God. And I start you with this. I leave you with, how are you going to practice that journey? How are you going to do that for yourself? How are you going to be a bit like Mary and spend time with God? But how are you going to be a bit like Martha and know who God is, even when things are hard and tough?